Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tmura Daf Yud Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. At the beginning of today's shiur, we will want to recap a little bit of what we did at the end of the previous shiur. We had noticed a series of questions that had been asked against Bar Pado. Bar Pado had a machlokis with Reb Yochanan concerning the possibility of sanctifying an ubar, an embryo, in an animal. In other words, if you had a pregnant animal and were not interested in dedicating the mother as a sacrifice, but rather wanted to dedicate the embryo as a sacrifice, would that dedication take hold? Bar Pado was of the opinion that there is no kedusha, that sanctity does not set upon an embryo. The Gemara had a series of questions, and we are actually in the middle of that series right now. We had done at the end of last year question number 4. That was at the bottom of Yud Amid Beis. The Gemara, which we had already learned, had said, but to go over it, Eisvei, 3 lines from the bottom of Yud Amid Beis, the Gemara said, Makdishin Evorim V'ubrin Avolo Memirin, that one has the ability of sanctifying limbs and embryos, and we dashed underline embryos because that's the focus of our discussion right now, but there is no tumura done with them. So we see over here that there is an ability to sanctify embryos against Bar Pado, and that series of questions was indicated by triangles with points facing up. At each point that the Gemara answered on behalf of Bar Pado, we presented an inverted triangle. And that here you see too at the very bottom of Yud Amud Beis, Hoche Nami, Bevlode Kochim. This too, like we answered it for question number 3, is dealing with a situation of an animal that had been sanctified and subsequently became pregnant. A case like that, so the Vlad will become sanctified. But that's not the situation that Bar Pado was describing. Bar Pado was talking about a case where one focuses his sanctification on an existing embryo. Vlade Kochim is, as we just said, a different situation. That's a situation where you had sanctified a mother, and she subsequently became pregnant. So the subsequent embryo that develops in an animal that's all in a mother that's already been sanctified, that is something that does become holy. The Gemara then, as we have seen previously, presents a challenge to the answer. And we've indicated this in the past. And this, of course, is contingent upon one's having learned Daf Yud, where we mentioned that there would be bracketed sections where where each answer is challenged. And here, too, we have a bracketed section that really is much longer than the previous bracketed sections, but it lasts till the next question that you see on Daf Yud Aleph, in the middle of the Amud, where the next right-up triangle appears where the point is facing up. That will be question number 5 posed to Bar Pado. But in the meantime, we have this long bracketed section where this answer is challenged. So that having been said, we now continue with the Gemara at the beginning of the brackets, 2 lines from the bottom of Yud Amud Beis, E Bevlade Kochim, if the source that was raised as a challenge by Pada is in fact talking about Vlade Kochim, the offspring of Kochim, my Makdishin, what is the meaning of the opening word Makdishin, meaning you can sanctify, Ha Kadishi B'Kaimi, there they become sanctified automatically. without your action of sanctification. So that this is a question on the answer that we gave, namely the answer of Lode Kachim. It doesn't fit into the words of what the source actually says, because if it was talking about Vlade Kachim, the word Makdishim would be inappropriate. So the Gemara answers at the very top of Yud Aleph, Hochi Koma, thusly we are to understand the source. Makdishin Evorin Umemirin Bohen. The word Makdishin is not going on the embryos, on the subsequent development of an embryo. It rather is focused on the limbs. In other words, one can makdish, sanctify a limb, and then assuming that the sanctity spreads throughout the rest of the animal, even though I sanctify just a limb, if you assume that the sanctity spreads throughout the rest of the animal, and that, by the way, is a machlokis tanoim, Shitas Rabbi Yossi is that sanctity will spread throughout, even if you sanctify a limb, so the rest of the animal will become kodesh, will become holy. Then once the rest of the animal becomes holy, umemirin bahen, then I can use the animal that's now become fully sanctified as a basis for tmura. Avol lo memirin evorim bohen. However, I don't replicate the kedusha onto chulin evorim through evorim that were sanctified. The ubrin shekitchu b'mei imon. And here is the reference in that source to the embryos that we were talking about before, embryos that became sanctified in their mothers, and that is like the case of Vlode Kachim, Ein Memirin Bohen. They are not the basis of Tmura. You don't use them for Tmura. The Gemara asks, V'i B'Vlode Kachim, the style of this Gemara is, once again, we had asked at the beginning of the bracketed sections, if it's really so that we're talking about Vlade Kachim. So here, too, the Gemara asks in a similar style, oh, is it really so that we're talking about Vlade Kachim? So, V'iv b'Vlade Kachim b'me'e imon hu delo avdin tmura ha evroi avdi. The implication of this source is that the Vlade Kachim, as it said, was b'meye imon. They don't serve as a basis of tmura. Well, that implies that as long as the embryo of the Vlade Kachim is yet unborn, so it doesn't serve as the basis of a tmura. But we can infer once that embryo actually emerges in birth, it could be the basis of a tmura. But that point alone is not accurate. V'ho tanan ein havlodos oisin tmura. We have a Tanaic source that says vlodos cannot be the basis of tmura. Vlodos are those that are actually born. So that the as if we're setting up the ubrin shekitchu as referring to vlade kachim, it leaves us with erroneous implication. The Gemara says, "Ha money, Rabbi Yehuda hi." The source really is according to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda that holds a Vlad is Oise Tmura. So we say that the Diuk that Evroi Avdi Tmura is in fact a legitimate implication, and therefore we can say we are talking about Vlade Kachim. The Gemara asks, well, E Rabbi Yehuda, if the source on the top is according to Rabbi Yehuda, me Evorim mi kachi. The source said makdishin evorim, but do evorim absorb sanctity? Evorim as opposed to a complete creature. Is there, according to Yehuda, the concept of sanctifying a limb alone? So, ha le Rebbe Yehuda, less lay. Rebbe Yehuda himself doesn't hold from ha'oimer raglish shel zu oila kula oila. He doesn't hold from the sanctification of a limb and its subsequent spreading. In fact, we had in our explanation mentioned that idea was in accordance with Rabbi Yossi and not Rabbi Yehuda. Omar lei hocha nami bedavar shehaneshama tluya ba uchid Rav Chisda. This source that speaks about the sanctification of a limb and its subsequent spreading throughout an animal is something that even Rabbi Yehuda would agree with, because we're talking about a vital organ, and according to Rav Chisda, a vital organ, according to Rav Chisda, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that a vital organ, once sanctified, will then spread, the sanctity will spread throughout the entire animal. So, just to recapitulate, what we've accomplished till now is, in question number 4, we raised a source that would have challenged Bar Pada, a source that seemed to indicate that one could sanctify an embryo, and we answered that the source was talking about vlade kochim, not a direct sanctification of embryo, but rather sanctification of a mother, and the subsequent development of the embryo would result in its sanctification. That is not the topic, though, that Bar Pada had stated his opinion on. In the last few lines, since we've been in the bracketed section, we've been questioning, is it really accurate to say that source was talking about vlade kochim? And at this point in the Gemara, we say yes, it is, and therefore the question against Bar Pada has been rebuffed. You'll notice through our markings, we are now about to enter an internal bracketed section. This is a bracket within a bracket, and we use an angular bracket to distinguish it from the larger curved brackets that we have already started, and if you look at the inside margin, there is an explanation of what is going to happen now in the Gemara. The little starred remark says, Sograim besoch sograim, those are brackets within brackets, elu, the angular ones, mu'od, are designed letachem, to show the borders, the extent, or to isolate, es keta ha-gemara she'osuk b'haloas ha-she'lo, to isolate the section of Gemara that raises a question, shel Lemo Ketanoi Udachyosa, to suggest that the din of Bar Pado and Rabbi Yochanan, whether or not you can makdish an ubar, a direct sanctification of an existing embryo, takes hold, that appears to be a, can we say, that it is a machlokes tanoim. And just to complement this note, we have on our outside margin, tat nosei, a subtopic, Betoch sograim, within these angular brackets, we will see a section that says Lemo Ketanoi, that which is a nisayon, an attempt lahamid machlokas bar pada v'Rabbi Yochanan, an attempt to set up the controversy between bar pada and Rabbi Yochanan be'inyan imakdishin ubar, regarding the topic of whether or not you can sanctify an existing embryo. Machlokas tanoim, we want to try to set that amoraic machlokas as a tanaic machlokas. So now, we have a Tanaic source. You can see a framed section in which we've framed two sources together, and they're numbered in this sources 1 and 2. We should also take note of this as a long question marking. You can see the shin to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, with a subsequent vertical dashed line, indicating that all of these lines form the question of, can we say that the Amoraic controversy between Bar Pada and Rabbi Yochanan is in fact a Tanaic controversy? At the end of this long question, the Gemara will say, loy, that the controversy that we see in front of us is not the same machlokas as Bar Pado and Rabbi Yochanan, but rather they're arguing about something else. So now we turn to the Gemara, the beginning of the frame section, Hashoichet es hachatos, umotza bo ben arbachai. One slaughters a sin offering and finds inside of it a four-month pregnancy, an animal, an embryo that's 4 months old, a chatos being a sheep. The length of the gestation period for a sheep is 5 months. So here it's not a complete pregnancy. The assumption right now is that we're talking about someone who sanctified a pregnant animal, and he dedicated the pregnant animal as a chatos. That's the assumption right now. So, kotoni chado, regarding this embryo, one source says, eino necheles elo lezichri kuna, it can be eaten, but only by male kohanim, the eino necheles elo fnimen akloim, it can be eaten, but only within the area of the azora of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, the eino necheles elo liyom echad, and you have only one day in which to eat it. In other words, this first source is treating the embryo as a with all the rules of a korban chatos. The Tanya idach, another source says necheles lechol adam. It can be eaten by anybody, v'necholin b'chol mokoyim, it can be eaten any place, v'einon necholin v'azora. And they're not eaten in the azora. Taking a look at the Rashi, there's it says, elo v'zichre kahuna, kedin chatos. Ko salka daitoch, the Rashi explains that the assumption is, the b'mafrish behema muberes askinon, that we're talking about one who had dedicated a pregnant animal. The e b'mafrish reikonis v'nisabra, if it had been a case of someone dedicating an as yet unpregnant animal, and subsequently after his dedication became pregnant, the kuli alma savri, everyone will agree, hoyol mikoch ime hu de kodesh, since its sanctity is derived from its mother, chulin hu, the embryo, the as yet unborn fetus, chulin is non-sanctified, the vlade kochim, when we speak about the idea of vlade kochim, which we have been discussing since the top of this omid, that those things are b'havyosin hen kedoshim. They gain sanctity only upon emergence into the world, only upon birth. K'shei no lodin v'lo b'meim, they're not sanctified when they're inside their mothers. So that if we're talking about finding something inside a slaughtered animal and you see an opinion treating it as holy, it must be that we're talking about a behema mu'uberes that someone had sanctified. That being said, we continue in the Gemara. My lav, tanoihi. Seeing these two sources in the frame, are we not to assume that the machlokas between Bar Pado and Rabbi Yochanan is reflected here? The Mar Sovar Kedusha Chol al Ubrin. Opinion one that views the ubar as holy holds that sanctification can be attached to an ubar. Umro Sovar, and opinion number two says ein kedusha chola al ubren. That would be that particular number two opinion would be the same stance that Bar Pada took. The opinion one here would reflect Rabbi Yochanan's approach. The Gemara says loy. That's not the case over here. But rather, we're not talking about someone who was makdish, a pregnant animal, but rather we're talking about someone who sanctified an unpregnant animal as an as yet non-pregnant animal, and after its sanctity became pregnant. Hani tanoi beha komifli. The controversy above in these sources 1 and 2 is as follows. The more sovar Opinion number two that viewed the embryo as mundane, he holds Vlodois Kotshim Bahav Yosin Hein Kedoshim. The embryos that developed subsequent to the sanctification of the mother gain their own sanctity only upon birth. As long as it hasn't been born, it is considered chulin. Havyosa means upon their birth. Opinion number one says that vlodei kochim gain sanctity even before they are born, when they're inside of their mothers. The Iboyesema, another approach to these two Tanaic opinions, holds that everyone would agree that Kedusha is chal, would have been chal immediately on an embryo if one had sanctified a pregnant animal. In other words, as far as this Iboyesema, this second approach to resolve the two sources, is saying everyone would hold like Reb Yochanan, that if one were to have sanctified a pregnant animal, sanctity would attach itself to the unborn embryo. Chad, so viboy semo chad tanahu, another approach says that these two sources really represent one Tanaic authority, but they are talking about two different situations. Chadome holin masnaisa, one of these sources, in fact, source number two is b'makdish behem of achakach nisabra, where he sanctified the mother and only later on it became pregnant, and he holds that vlodos kotshim are b'hav yosin en kodosh, only upon birth do they become pregnant, do they become sanctified, and hence we saw in source number two that it was chulin, that the found embryo inside of its mother, since it hasn't been born yet, is still chulin. V'chado minhon, and the other one of the sources, namely source number one, shehikidisha miruberes. It's not a case of vlodei kotshim, but rather it's a case of someone who has sanctified a pregnant animal. And since we are holding in this Iboy Esema that everyone goes like Rabbi Yochanan, so the sanctity immediately attaches itself to the Ubar. Now we see another triangle, and immediate to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, you see a triangle with number 5, and you actually see a descending dashed vertical line indicating a length marker, so that this is question number 5 posed to Bar Pada. Bar Pada, just to review, was of the opinion that if one attempts to sanctify an embryo in isolation, in other words, not the mother, just to direct sanctity on an embryo, it would not take hold. Bar Pada holding that sanctity in general does not take hold of embryos. So here we have a Tanaic source, Tanan, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Kilayim Utrefa V'yotza Doifen, Tumtum Vandroginis, Loi Kedoshin V'lo Makedishin. There are a list of situations here. Kilayim is a mixed bred animal. Trefa has some type of organ deficiency. Yotzedefen is a cesarean birth. Tumtum is an animal that whose gender is not clear. Androgynous is a gender duality. They are, says, lo kedoshim velo makdishin. This is explained the Omar Shmuel, lo kedoshim bitmura velo makdishin laasos tmura. The lo kedoshim b'tmura would mean that they do not become kodesh, they don't become holy through tmura. If, let us say, any of these things, the kilayim, trefi, or tzedofen, any of these examples happen to be chulin, and someone try to replicate kedusha onto the trefi or the tzedofen through tmura, it would not take hold. And that's an interesting point of law, because even though tmura takes hold of blemished animals, not so in the case of these types of unique oddities or deficiencies. And likewise, v'lo makdishin lasos tmura. This is an expression which needs to be explained. The Gemara itself will explain it, but the translation would be kilayim trefiut tzedakin. These examples could not be the basis of making a tmura. And now that will be explained, because that's not very clear. If you just got finished telling me they don't absorb Kedusha through Tumura, so how do they become holy in the first place that one would think that you could make Tumura from them? Vitanya Omar Rebbe, Me'achar She'enon Kedoshim, we were taught that you cannot even sanctify these things. Hech Makdishin, how could they be the source of Kedusha for something else that I would need to be told that they're not Makdish through Tumura? In order to generate a Tumura, you have to have an animal that is holy, that's sanctified. But if you tell me that sanctity cannot take hold of a kilayim trefiut tuptum and androgynous, so how could you even think that they could be the basis of a tumura onto something else? Therefore, e ata motse ela b'makdish behema v'achar kach nitrafa. Therefore, the only way to come up with a case like that would be of a trefa, for example, would be a trefa which was at first a healthy animal and you sanctified it while it was healthy and then later on became a trefa. Or b'makdish vlad v'yotza derech dofen, or you sanctified an embryo and it then was born through a cesarean delivery. Now, this expression makdish vlad, this is the we'll call it the problem for Bar Pada. Alma Kodesh Vlad. You see from here that a Vlad, can be dedicated. And that's, as we said, against Bar Pada. There's a point that we would like to look at together in the Rashi. You'll find a Rashi toward the bottom of the page with a little star there, and it says Almo Kodesh Ubar. We see from here that an Ubar does become Kodesh. Midiktoni b'makdish Ubar v'yotze derech defen dehaihu delo Kodesh legufei v'mevat tmura. This situation doesn't have kedusha in order to generate a tmura. Ha lo yotzo derech doifin kodesh b'kedusha kamaisa kedusha zaguf of a tmura. However, if it was not born yet, it would have its own kedusha. So that is a problem for Bar Pada. The Gemara answers Amri. Betam b'me'e tamima afilu bar padanami moidi de kodesh. In fact, unlike we understood up till now, this is a new approach to the whole matter. If you are dealing with an unblemished fetus inside a mother who is also unblemished, even Bar Pada agrees that the vlad could become, the embryo could become sanctified. Loi nechluku elo betam b'mei ba'alas mum. The whole machlokis between Bar Pada and Rabbi Yochanan regarding the sanctification of an embryo is a case of an unblemished embryo inside a mother that is blemished. Bar Pada sovar kevon di imei lo mikdisho kedushas aguf. Bar Pada holds that since the mother cannot absorb inherent sanctity, in other words, the mother cannot be brought as a sacrifice as she is blemished. She gets the sanctity known as Kedushas Domim, value sanctity, but not an inherent sanctity. Hu nami, the embryo as well, lo kodesh, does not become sanctified. Rabbi Yochanan Savar, hani kishnei behemos ninhu. A mother and its offspring are viewed as two separate animals. Imehi delo mikdasha, the mother doesn't absorb sanctity, aval hu kadosh, but the embryo does absorb sanctity. We have a section that, based on the approach of the Gra, the Vilna Goin, in Ois Vov, he mentions that there are those that don't have this particular section of Gemara. and hence we're not going to learn it, and we're going to now skip to the second line from the bottom at the end of line. Omer Rabbi Yosi, Valo b'mukdoshin ha'oimer raglo shel zu v'chule. We saw a machlokis between Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda regarding the possibility of sanctifying limbs. This was in a Mishnah, and on Daf Yud Amid Aleph, and Rabbi Yosi was of the opinion that you could sanctify a limb. Rabbi Yosi was of the opinion that you can sanctify a limb and the entire animal becomes Kodesh. That's the, we'll call it the spreading sanctity phenomenon. The Gemara now at the very top of Yud Aleph Amid Beis, Tonu Rabbonan, we are introduced to a Tanaic source. Contained within this Tanaic source are two schools of Tanaic thought. You'll see their names underlined in the middle of the source. You have Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda on the one side, and Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon on the other side. The source is explained or introduced by our topic heading in the outside margin under our Nosei heading, the topic heading, Machlokes Tanoim Be'inyan Hispashtus Kedusha, a Tanaic controversy focusing on the ability of sanctity to spread, where he sanctifies the leg, one leg of an animal. The question is, upon the sanctification of one limb, does the sanctity spread throughout the mother, throughout the animal? Yochol ha'oimer ragla shel zu oila tehei kula ola. Could it be, if one were to sanctify the leg of an animal and dedicate it as an ola, a type of sacrifice, would the entire animal become an ola? Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, Kol asher yitain mimenu lashem yeh kodesh. Mimenu lashem, mimenu means from it, meaning apart, velo kula lashem, but and yet not the entire animal. The pasuk that is referred to is quoted on the side of our Gemara. We've written in by Yikrochav Zayin pasuk Tes, and it reads, just glancing at the inside margin, Ve'im behemo asher yakribu mimeno korban Lashem, kol asher yitein mimenu Lashem ye kodesh. So in this pasuk we saw the expression of mimenu Lashem. Continuing in the Tanaic source on the third line at the end, Yochol teitzei l'chulin, would it become something that becomes mundane? If you're telling me that the whole thing is not kodesh, so maybe it becomes chulin. Talmud Lomar yeh kodesh. The pasuk says at the end it shall be holy. So that we have a situation where the animal's leg is holy and the rest of it is not holy. Ha ketzad. So like, what do you do with that? Timocher lutzorche oilois, sell it to a person that needs to bring a korban ola, and the domeh chulin, the money that you get from the purchaser, will be mundane, chutz midmei aver shabob, with the exception of the value of that leg, or that limb that you sanctified. Divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. This approach is the opinion of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, they say, Minayin loy meragla shel zuola shekul ola. From where do we know that if you dedicate the leg of an animal as an ola, that the sanctity spreads and the whole thing becomes an ola, the whole animal becomes an ola? Shinemar, the posuk says, Kol asher yitain mimenu lashem. Kishu omer yeh kodesh l'rabos es kula. So the posuk indicated that when you sanctify even any of it, there is sanctity, but that's not where it stops. Yeh kodesh, according to them, indicates that this kedusha spreads throughout the entire animal. Omar Mar. Now, we quote from the source. There's a little arrow that we've provided to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text to show you where this quote is coming from. It said in the source, after you sanctified the leg, and according to the first school of thought in this source, the kedusha does not spread. So it said, "Timocher l'tzorchos." Well, sell it to someone that needs to bring a korban olah. The Gemara asks, now, the fellow who bought this, what in effect did he buy? He bought that which you can sell. Well, you were able to sell the unsanctified part of the animal. That which is sanctified is not really yours to sell. So the fellow that bought it is buying an animal that's in theory missing a leg, because he didn't buy the leg. Well, he's bringing an animal missing a limb, which is not allowed. And we say missing a limb, it's figuratively. The limb is there, it just happens to be sanctified. But figuratively, is he not bringing an animal that's missing a limb? Omar Rava. So Rava explains, Omer, the fellow who's buying this, who has this Ola obligation, his initial vow, he said, Hare olai oilo bechayeha. I intend to bring an ola, those parts of an animal that are vital for its existence. In other words, all vital organs of an animal I am dedicating as an ola. Being that his initial dedication was of vital organs, so the animal could live without the leg. When it's cut off, when it's actually and physically cut off below the thigh area, the animal can continue living. Therefore, the vow that the purchaser made is fulfilled by his buying this ola whose leg had been sanctified. We have a series of triangles and double underlines. These are explained in the outside margin under our Nosei Mivne heading. These are deos, the names. Reb Chisda, Rava, and Reb Sheshes are opinions. Mosai HaTana Reb Yehuda Yode, when will the Tana Reb Yehuda concede Sheyesh Hispash Tzedusha Beglal Shehamakdish Hikdish Ever Chiyuni? Because as a result of the dedicator of the animal having dedicated a vital organ. So we'll see three opinions as to under what circumstances Reb Yehuda concedes that there is the spreading of Kedusha. When an organ is dedicated, the holiness will spread to throughout the whole animal. So Amar Rav Chisda, Moide Reb Yehuda, Reb Yehuda will concede that there is a spreading of sanctity. B'dover Sho'isa Satrefa, if one dedicated an organ that would, if missing, make the animal into a trefa, then the animal would be the sanctification of such a limb would result in the whole animal, in fact, becoming sanctified. Rav Omar, Bedover She'oso Sonavela. Rava says that not osa trefa, but if one dedicated an organ, that if it were missing, then the animal would be classified as a nevela. A nevela is a situation where the animal will communicate tuma, ritual impurity called tumas nevela. An animal that's a trefa, for example, does not communicate tumas nevela. And we'll see later in the Gemara what is such an organ, or limb, that if missing, it would be classified as a nevela. Rav Sheshes Omar, Bedovar Shehi Mesa. The type of limb that without which it would die immediately. The case that Rava features is a situation that, technically speaking, the animal is still alive. Its heart is beating, it is breathing. However, it's called a nevela nonetheless. Rav Sheshes says that is not sufficient to be responsible for Kedusha spreading, but rather one would have to dedicate that type of organ that would result in the animal's death, immediate death. My Iko Bain Rav Chisda L'Rava. What is the point of difference between the Rav Chisda approach of Oisus Atrefa versus Rava, who said Dover Shoisus Anavela? Iko Binayu, the point of difference is Trefa Chaya. Do you view an animal that's a Trefa as something that continues to live? Rav Chisda Sovar Lo Keman Domar Trefa Eino Chaya. Rav Chisda, who viewed the
organ that would make it into a trefa, as we'll call Dover Shanashama Tuyabo, a vital organ, because he's of the opinion that a trefa does not continue living. So, being that it doesn't continue living, doesn't die immediately, but it will die in a short amount of time, that is called, therefore, Dover Shanashama Tuyabo, a life-sustaining organ. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda will be motivated to the spreading of Kedusha. The Rava Savala, Kemadoma Trefa Chaya, Rava holds that those organs that, if missing, would make it into a Trefa, is not tantamount to Dovar Shehanashama Tuliyabo. It's not a life-sustaining organ, because he is of the opinion that a Trefa, in fact, continues to live. What is the point of difference between Rava and Rav Sheshes? Rava saying that if it's Oisos and Avela, it will be considered life-sustaining, and therefore spread, the Kedusha will spread. And Rav Sheshes said that Oisos and Avela is not enough. What is the point of difference, or an example of a difference? So the Gemara answers, Ika Binayu de Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar's teaching is the point of difference between those two opinions. The Amar Rebbe Elazar, Nitlo Yerech V'Chalal Shelo Nevela. If an animal's leg, including its thigh and its socket, are removed, that would make the animal into a Nevela. The Gemara elsewhere explains what that is. And that's a situation where the animal, when crouches, usually the animal folds its legs under its body. This animal is missing so much of its leg and thigh that when it's crouching, you will notice there is a gap, there is a cavity. And a situation like that, according to what we saw, according to Rebbe Lazar, will make the animal into a nevela. In other words, it will be a source of tuma right now. Rava Savar Law Karevalozer. Rava holds like that. And since it's considered a nevela, it's considered dead, even though, technically speaking, its heart is still beating. And therefore, if one had dedicated, let's say, the yerech, the thigh, and the halal, that under such circumstances, the Tana, Rebbe Yehuda, would agree that even though you dedicated a limb, the Kedusha would spread. Rav Sheshes lo savar lo kareba lozer. Rav Sheshes, however, doesn't accept Rebbe Lozer's teaching that if the thigh and cavity are missing, it would become a nevela. And therefore, Rav Sheshes says that only the dedication of a truly vital organ, the removal of which would result in the animal's actual death, only then would the Kedusha spread to the rest of the animal if one dedicated such an organ. We now raise a kasha from a Tanaic source in which Rabbi Yehuda appears, and as a result of this source, we're going to get the impression that Rabbi Yehuda never holds from the spreading of Kedusha. And hence, this source will represent a kasha on all of the opinions we just saw. We saw Rav Chisda, Rava, and Rav Sheshes, each one saying that there is a point at which Rebbe Yehuda will concede to the spreading of Kedusha. We're about to see a source in which Rebbe Yehuda appears to hold otherwise. We have a long question marking that accompanies this section of Gemara. You see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a kuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. The source begins, Omar, we say Meisve, this is a kashe, Omar Rebbe, Nirin, Devei Rebbe Yehuda. It appears, except Rebbe Yehuda's approach of non-spreading of Kedusha, B'dobar She'ein Hanashama Tluyabo, when a non-vital organ is dedicated. So if one would dedicate the ear of an animal, so Rebbe says, I accept Rebbe Yehuda's approach, that Kedusha will not spread. V'divrei Rabbi Yossi, b'davar shehanashama tluya bo. And I accept Rabbi Yossi's opinion to the concept of spreading Kedusha when you dedicate an animal, when you dedicate a vital organ. So that being the case, lav michlal de polig ole Rabbi Yehuda? Is it not so that Rabbi Yehuda himself would disagree with Rabbi Yossi on that very point? Namely, Rebbe is saying, I like Rabbi Yossi's opinion, meaning I like his opinion and not Rabbi Yehuda's opinion regarding Dovar Shana Shalma Tliyabo. So what does that show you about Rabbi Yehuda's opinion on Dovar Shana Shalma Tliyabo, a vital organ? That there is no spreading of Kedusha. The Gemara elaborates, Bishlama Nirin Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, B'Dovar Shein Hanashama Tliyabo. I understand the phrase that of Rebbe saying, I like his opinion, meaning, and not the other one's opinion. I like Rebbe Yehuda's opinion when it comes to a Dovar She'ein Hanashama Tluyabo, when it's something that is not of a vital nature. When it's not of a vital nature, so there is no spreading of Kedusha. And therefore, I like Rebbe Yehuda's opinion on that. Rabbi Yossi, and it was, we're saying that Rebbe's statement of I like Rabbi Yehuda's opinion on this matter is a fair statement, because you know he's choosing Rabbi Yehuda over Rabbi Yossi, who argues, and we know that Rabbi Yossi argues about that. Rabbi Yossi is of opinion that even a non-vital organ sanctification would result in a spreading of Kedusha. Ela nirin divrei Rabbi Yossi b'dover shana shoma tluya bo. Rebbe's comment that I like Rabbi Yossi's opinion regarding a vital organ. What does it mean? I like Rabbi Yossi's opinion that there is a spreading of sanctity when a vital organ is dedicated. Michlal de polig ole Rabbi Yehuda. Well, that would imply that Rabbi Yehuda himself argues with Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi is simply saying, I like Rabbi Yossi's opinion on this matter. So we are in effect saying that Rabbi Yehuda himself would argue, and even on a vital organ, there is no spreading of Kedusha. Utyufta de Kulhu, and this would be a repudiation of all of the opinions, the Amoraic opinions that we saw above in the triangles, because each of them was trying to say that there is a point at which Rabbi Yehuda himself would concede to spreading of Kedusha. Here we see that even when dealing with a vital organ, there is no spreading of Kedusha with regard to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara responds, Loi, not so that Rabbi Yehuda argues. Rather, chisuri mechaser v'hochi katani. The source that we posed in the Meisve at the beginning of the question is to be understood as follows. Nirin divrei Rabbi Yossi li Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi's opinion of spreading Kedusha appears as acceptable even to Rabbi Yehuda, b'davar shana shama tluya bo, when dealing with a vital organ. She'af Rabbi Yehuda lo nechlak alav elo b'davar she'ein hashama tluya bo. Rabbi Yehuda himself argued with Rabbi Yossi only with regard to a non-vital organ, that only then does Rabbi Yehuda hold his opinion of non-spreading of sanctity. Aval b'davar shana shama tluya bo modilei, but with regard to an organ of vital necessity, Rabbi Yehuda will concede to Rabbi Yossi to this concept of spreading of Kedusha. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a series marking, another geometric form, a diamond in this case, and in the outside margin under our Nose Mivne heading, we feature the diamond and explain Sidra Shel She'elos, a series of questions, Shehamashutaf Lahem Makdish Chelki, partial sanctification. We will see the use of other emphasis markings, diagonal dashed underlining and double underlining with dots in them. These are Hadgoshas Shemos. These will highlight names, different names, as we go on in the Sugya. Boi Rova. Be'oif Mahu. Let us say a person sanctified the leg of a bird offering. A bird, an oif, is something that could be brought as a korban. Will the Kedusha spread throughout the entire bird? And this question will be best understood if we focus it regarding, let's say, Shitas Rabbi Yossi, that in theory, the basic Shita is that there is the spreading of Kedusha. And the Rashi himself points this out, that this question is posed within the framework of Rabbi Yossi's opinion. So Rava asks, according to Rabbi Yossi, ba'oif mahu, a person sanctified the leg of a bird, would the sanctity spread throughout the entire bird? There are two sides of the question, hence we have labeled them Aleph and then Oi Dilma. Later on the line, the O Dilma is squiggle on it as it's a transition expression, or maybe B, Bays, the second side of the question. So do we say behema omer achmona v'ha lav behemohi? The pasuk that Rabbi Yossi cited as a basis for the spreading of Kedusha used the term behema in it. And this we saw earlier, this was Vayikra, Perik, Chof Zayin, Pasuk, Tes. And a bird is not a behema. A behema is a cow, an animal, a four-legged creature, not a bird. Oy Dilma, Korban, Omar Rahmana. The Pasuk used the word Korban, the Ha Nami Korban Hu. A bird is a Korban. So if Pasuk Tes is the basis of spreading of Kedusha, and it mentions Korban in that Pasuk, that would include a bird. Teku, well, this remains unresolved. Boi Rava. Hiktish Ever Ledomov, Mahu de Techus Le Kedusha Saguf. If a person sanctified the limb of an animal with regard to its value, a value dedication of a limb, would there be the spreading of sanctity to the extent that the sanctity would spread to the entire animal and it would itself gain inherent sanctity? There is, to see this question, you'll notice there is also an Aleph, O Dilma, Beis. There's a two sides of the question. And in the Aleph, there are two stages. This noting of two stages is very important, as you'll see later in the Gemara. So again, the question is, you sanctify the, let us say, the leg of an animal with regard to its value. Does the value sanctity result in the spreading of sanctity throughout the whole animal to the extent that it gains not Kedushas Domen, but Kedushas Haguf, inherent sanctity, and resulting in the animal itself being brought as a sacrifice? So we're right now analyzing how extensive can the spreading of Kedusha exist. Mi Omar, do we say Kevon de Nachto Le Kedushas Domen, Nachto Le Kedushas Haguf? Since value, holiness, sets upon the leg, so inherent holiness also sets upon the leg. Umida akdashe l'chad ever, akdashe l'kula. And once one limb gains kedusha saguf, based on the spreading of kedusha, it will spread to the whole animal. Oy dilma, or possibly chad migu omar. One, migu is the word since, and we'll say that concept, we'll apply the concept of, we'll call it this extending idea, once. Tre migu lo omar. Tre migu is represented by the little one and two that we had just a moment ago, but that, as far as this side of the analysis of the question, that's going, that we would say that's going too far. To say that, say, a double since, namely, since it has Kedushas Domim, it will also have Kedushas Aguf. And then a number two, a second since it has sanctity with regard to one limb, it will spread to the rest of the animal. That's Rava's question. The Gemara responds, Tifshot Le Midideh. Why does Rava even bother asking this question when he could answer it from his own teaching? Midideh means from himself. Namely, that certainly the Kedusha will spread throughout the whole animal. To Omar Rava, Rava has said in the past, Hiktish Zohar Ledomov, if a person dedicates a male animal to the extent of its value being dedicated, a value dedication, nevertheless, Kadosh Kedusha Saguf, inherent sanctity sets upon the animal. So that we see from Rava's teaching that a value dedication does lead to an inherent dedication, inherent sanctity. The Gemara says, no, you can't compare Rava's din, in which we circled his name, to Rava's question at the previous diamond. Hasam de akdeshe lukule. In the case of hikdish zocher ledama, where a person dedicated a male animal with regard to its value, but he made a value dedication of the entire animal. So in order to go from that stage to inherent to kedushas aguf, you're only activating one migu. You're saying since, but only once. You're saying since it has an entire, the entire animal has value, sanctity, it will now have inherent sanctity. But that's all. It's only a one stage upgrade, or one stage since remark. Haha, regarding the sanctification of value of one limb, the akdeshe chad ever, my, what is the story in this case? Do we do this, upgrade twice? Teku, that remains unresolved. Bo mine Abaye me Rabo. Abaye asks of Rabo, Hikdish chad ever, mahu begiza. Let us say a person dedicated a singular limb. What is the law regarding the shearing of that limb? There is a Rashi that you find midway down the wide lines at the bottom. Hikdish eber mahu begiza. As far as using the animal for work, for plowing, that we're not going to even raise as a question to Osir. That's simple, that it's forbidden. To Homak Kishlo, you're diminishing the quality of that which you dedicated. There is a note in the Shita Mekubetzis Lamed Gimel that's very helpful for appreciating this question. So the Shita Mekubetzis in Ois Lamed Gimel says, the question is focused on Rabbi Yehuda Domar Lo Poshta Kedusha Bekula. The sanctity does not spread throughout the entire animal. When you dedicate a non-vital organ, we already have learned that the sanctity does not spread throughout the entire animal. Mahu Oisa Eifer Begiza. What is the din regarding the shearing of the hair, of the wool, of that particular limb? To either Rabbi Yossi, if this were within the framework of Rabbi Yossi, even the Pashta Kedusha Bekula, Pshita Dasur Begizu Avoda. Since Rabbi Yossi holds that the Kedusha spreads throughout the entire animal, then it would be obvious that there would be a restriction of shearing and working with it. So at this point, we're focusing on Rabbi Yehuda. And these comments are important for understanding in what context these questions are raised. Before, remember, when Rovo asked his question about the oif, we mentioned that that was a question within the context of Rabbi Yossi, who holds from spreading Kedusha. Here, we're asking within Rabbi Yehuda, who holds from non-spreading of Kedusha. So Abai asks, if one dedicated a singular limb, can you shear that limb? So the Gemara asks, well, if you're asking this question, couldn't you resolve it from the following? Tifshot loch meha desanya. Why not resolve your question from the following? The source says, lo sogoiz b'chor tzonecha. That's a posuk. You shall not shear firstborn sheep. Aval ata goizeiz b'shecha v'shel achirim. However, you are allowed to shear a firstborn that's jointly owned, Jewish and Jew with non-Jew that own a firstborn, that is something that one is allowed to shear. Similarly, our issue concerns one sanctifying a limb, so that's also a type of joint ownership where limb is sanctified, the rest is not sanctified. So there's a type of joint ownership between holiness and non-holiness. And we see in this source that when you have joint ownership, there is an allowance to shear. So the Gemara responds that these two, if you were commenting or asking why didn't we answer the question from this source, I'll tell you why we didn't answer the question from here. Hasam lo nochta le kedusha klal, regarding the din of the firstborn, where there is joint ownership between Gentile and Jew, there isn't any sanctity whatsoever. Haha, in this case, in the case of the question that Abai was asking, nochta le kedusha, there is sanctity. It's limited to the limb, but there is some sanctity, and that might be enough to forbid the shearing of that limb. Inami, another point of difference, hasam ein biyodo lakdisho. In that case, where it's jointly owned with a Gentile, so the Jew can't dedicate the, he can't sanctify that which is held by the Gentile. Ha-ha, bi'ado la'kisho. Here he's alone. He's dedicated, he dedicated just the leg, but there is the potential of dedicating the whole animal as well. So, therefore, the question remains unresolved, but the point of this discussion was that we cannot resolve the question from the source dealing with the Bechor. Bo mine abaye me rabo. Hiktish o ra mahu bavoda. One sanctified the skin of an animal. Can you work with the animal? Toshma. We have the following Tanaic source in which it says, Ho'imer mashemel shozu oilo. If someone dedicated the embryo of an animal as being an ola, muteras begiza, you can shear the mother, vasura bavoda, you cannot work with the mother, nekichush ubar shebo, because of the weakening as the mother works and toils in plowing a field, let us say, the embryo will be weakened. Now, Rashi explains, likewise, with regard to our question of one who dedicated the skin of an animal as one sanctified the skin of a living animal, if you go ahead and work with it, you will diminish the quality of the ore. You will be weakening the ore, so to speak. So that would answer the question. Omar Le, so Abaye says back, Ki kotani asura bavoda midrabbanan. This source that teaches that there is a prohibition of doing work with it, that is of a rabbinic nature. And my question is on a doraisa level, on a Torah level, and will there be a resultant penalty of, or punishment of, lashing if one were to work with this animal? So the Gemara asks, "I hachi, if it's true that the source is only the Rabbanan, then afilu begizo nami titzar." So the source, once you're dealing with rabbinic restrictions, and they said that you cannot work with it, so then why don't they say that you can't shear it as well? In the case that you had dedicated the mother as the embryo within the mother as an ola, so don't shear the mother either. Omar Le, so he answers that there still is a difference. Avodo de mikhusha gazri borabonan, working with the animal that weakens it. So they, the rabbonan, made a rabbinic restriction about working with the mother. Giza, however, shearing of the mother, that doesn't weaken the mother. Lo gazri borabonan. The rabbonan did not impose any restrictions with regard to Giza. However, you see once again that Abaye's original question about sanctification of skin, and is there a restriction, a deraisa restriction regarding working with it, so that we don't have an answer to. We don't have an answer to that particular question. Bo mine Abaye merav Yosef. He shlomim uvlada chulin. Let us say someone dedicated the offspring the mother as a shlomim sacrifice, and said that he wants the vlad to remain unsanctified. V'shachta b'fnim, and then slaughtered this mother as a shlomim inside the azora. Mahu lemanda omar vladei kodshim b'havyoson hein kedoshim. What is the din with regard to the presence of this offspring now in the Azor of the Beis HaMikdash, according to the opinion that says that Vlodei Kachim, that the embryos or the children, the offspring of Kachim, gain their sanctity only upon birth? Now, here he is going to be slaughtering the mother, and the unborn is still inside of the mother. So, mihavi chulin v'azora oi lo. Do we view this as being a problem of chulin v'azora or not? Chulin v'azora is a problem of having that which is not holy inside the azora. And here he mentioned that he wants the vlad to be, the embryo to be chulin. The Gemara at the very top of Daf Yud Beis, Omar Lei. So he answers, this would be Rav Yosef answers, that he's not chayav. There is no violation of chulin v'azora. Mi karino bei, would we refer to this, the pasuk that features the prohibition of chulin v'azora, ki yirchak mimcha mokom v'zavachta, the Rashi at the top explains, Mikrina Bek Yichak Mimcha Mokam Vezavachta Mehosam Nafgalon. From that pasuk, we learn the Osir Lishchot Chulin Bazora, that it's forbidden to slaughter the mundane in the Beis HaMikdash. The Darshinon, we understand that pasuk, Berichuk Mokam Atazoveach. Only at a distance, meaning outside the Beis HaMikdash, do you slaughter the unsanctified. V'yatazoveach b'kiruv mokam bazara. But you do not sacrifice the unsanctified in the azara. Perek Sheni Kedushin. Now, the hocha, in our case, mi karina behochi, could we have referred to this embryo, the halacha of needing to slaughter it at a distance? Ha'ena yochol lishchot behemazu elo bazara. Sherei shlomim hi. The mother couldn't have been slaughtered anywhere else. You had to slaughter the mother in the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, there is no expectation to have done anything else. Therefore, there is no violation of Chulin Vazora. Ba'amine Abaye Merav Yosef. He Chulin Uvlado Shlomim. This is a flip side. The mother, he says, remains Chulin, but I want the Vlad to be dedicated as a Shlomim. And this is according to this question is according to the opinion that says, like we saw Reb Yochanan, that Kedusha is chal on Ubrin. Here he is dedicating a just the fetus of a pregnant animal and dedicating it as a shlomim. And then what did he do? V'shachta b'chutz mahu, and he slaughtered the mother with this embryo in it that he had dedicated as shlomim. He slaughters it outside the Beis HaMikdash. What is the din? Mi mechayav alei mishum shchutei chutz olo. Is he in violation of shchutei chutz, of slaughtering sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash or not? So Amalei, Rav Yosef answers, mi karino be vehevium lashem. Could we refer to this the obligation of having the obligation of bringing it to the Azara? This is the pasuk by Shchutei Chutz. Now, you couldn't have, it's not born yet, it's not something you could have slaughtered in the Azara. Therefore, since it's not something you could have slaughtered in the Azara as it was yet unborn, therefore there is no violation of Shchutei Chutz. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.